all of you know well. I'm going to start probably in a little different place than you'd thought. We're going to get to the one you just mentioned, John. But go with me to Romans chapter 1. Paul is now declaring this great book of Romans, where he shows the revelation of the why of the what. Why Jesus did what he did and what it means for us. When he gets to 8, he pulls it together in one verse that I love to quote. I would that all of you in here knew it by heart. Where did I tell you to go? Romans chapter 1. I had my mind on another hook. Romans 1, verse 16. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Andrew Womack, I don't know where he got it from. He says that the original meaning, and I guess I haven't really gone myself and looked at how he came up with this. I love when he says it. I probably should go look for myself. But he says it means, that word gospel there means the almost too good to be true news. And he said it's a word that is not used very often in the Greek at all. The gospel. He says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is it, the gospel. Is the power of God, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So he's referencing here as the gospel being the power of God unto salvation. Look at real quick at Ephesians 1, and I'm sure you know these scriptures well. Ephesians 1. We're speaking on this same theme. He says in verse 19 of chapter 1 of Ephesians, let's back up to 17. We'll read the whole thing. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom." How many would lift your hands up this morning with me? How many are daydreaming about the rest of your day or the rest of the week? Lost me. Is it too warm in here? We're doing all right? Okay. Spirit of wisdom. Come on, lift your hand up all over the room. Thank you, Father. Come on, say it with me. Thank you, Father. If ever I needed wisdom, it's right now. And my hand raised signifies I submit and I receive. Right now, I'm receiving. James 4:7, submit to God. This is what we're doing right now. James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee. This heart of receiving empowers you. Father, today we receive the spirit of wisdom. It's in your word. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Truth revealed, not just truth thrown at you. Truth revealed in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding? Here it is. Here's that word power again. Dunamis. Dynamite. Here it is again. And what is the exceeding greatness? We talked about this a while back. This is not just any power. This is God. When God's power is exceeding, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? How many believers we got in the house this morning? Exceeding great power is not only at your disposal, but when you confessed Him as Lord and Savior, Scripture says by regeneration of the Holy Spirit, He made the real you, your spirit man, so pure, so holy, by faith, that it could house the very presence of God. That's a miracle. I think most of us, that hasn't really hit home. I never get tired of talking about that. I don't understand it. Towards us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought, brought about, performed in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Do you believe? Do you know that much of the church world right now is trying to explain away His resurrection? We're coming into Christmas. You have what were mainline ecumenical churches that are now trying to explain away the virgin birth. How many believers we have in the house this morning? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth and confession is the eruption of truth revealed. Confessing with your mouth or believe in your heart that He, Jesus, is God who came and dwelt among us, Emmanuel, and now lives within us by faith. How many are glad for Jesus today? Three of you. How many are glad for Jesus today? Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality. Why did He come? We're getting a little picture right now. Why did He come? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. I think you can think of a few right now. Anyway, we'll keep moving on. Not only in this world, so He is talking about in this world, but also in that which is to come. And have put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. I needed this reminder this week. The other night as we were sitting and talking with, I don't know how much of you caught that, Anna, but somebody, Chad asked about the ministry in Honduras, and it did me so much good to sit there and tell amidst laughter and fun, you know, we were having a great time. But remembering the ministry that the Lord gave us in Honduras as a young couple when our girls were little. We were in prayer together, just to give you a little bit of context. I don't want to take time from this, but we were in prayer together with a Canadian missionary couple way back up in the backcountry of Honduras. We lived in an area where the outlaws fled to when they wanted to get away from the law. That tells you where we lived. And we saw God doing a lot of things, but in our prayer together, we were a very young couple. We're out in the middle of nowhere in our little adobe house, big old thick wall adobe house. I mean, as rugged as you can imagine. And we're in there praying about ministry and what's going to be happening. And as we were praying together, I had never had this experience myself. My eyes were opened. And without, involuntarily, there was this, like a screen before me. And I saw the same mountains that you would see if our walls of the home and the town were removed, the same mountains that you would see in the background where we lived, pine mountains all the way around us. On these mountains, in this vision, I saw these great mountains and little niches all over. And standing in these niches were people who were obviously seeking. And they had their hands uplifted all over. Little Spanish peasant women with their typical, what I saw in my mind, what you saw there commonly, was their long dresses and aprons, and the men with their cowboy hats, and in different places all over those mountains, and these little places, and back in, big and small. But they were all in the same posture, turned in the right direction, and I really don't know what that means, turned in the same direction. All of them, hands. And I saw, as they were standing there, little flames of fire, just like you read about. Little flames of fire appear over their heads, and it went away. And I thought, so in a very kind of a little bit embarrassed and not wanting to act like I was, you know, some great prophet or something to this other older Canadian couple that was working for my folks. We were working there with them and under their direction. I shared what I had seen. And the response that I got was, oh, that's, it almost felt, and it may not have been the case at all, but it sure felt that way to me. It's, oh, that's so cute. And do you know that for the next 2 years, primarily the next 8 months to a year, everywhere that I went, I've never seen anything like it before since, for me personally, everywhere that I went, we saw people baptized in the Holy Ghost en masse. I didn't even want it to happen. I'd be like, I want to talk about something else. And I'd get there and they'd say, hey, we want you to talk about the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, ugh. And then we'd watch people. It was just ripe. God knew. And it helped me remember how a nation was rocked. I'm not talking about me. I was a little teeny part of that. By a revival that took place in the 80s. And you've heard me talk about that in here. Communism literally poised to tumble. It was all there. I'm not exaggerating at all. National Geographic magazine cover, Honduras, the eye of the storm. And watch as communism totally had the bricks pulled out from underneath of it, and all of that effort tumble with one revelation as a result of prayer. And then what took place, my brother and his wife here and her daddy, Victor, and so many testimonies and so many things that took place. But it helped me talking about those things. I think it's for a good reason that Scripture says remember. It's important that we remember Jesus. That's what communion is about, remembering. It's important that we remember what it is, the good things. I mean, one of the Psalms recounts, David sings in reference to Israel, singing of the faithfulness of God, of where they were and how God brought them out. It's good to remember, and it helped me remember. And it's so easy to get in the now that we forget who he's not encapsulated in our yesterday or in our now. The worst thing we can do is go back and try to make yesterday happen now. But he's still the God of salvation. He still is the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. He still is the healer. He still is the deliverer. He still can turn nations around. And somewhere along the line, we've got to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. Paul put it this way, gird up the loins of your mind. Don't become weak. One more time, lift your hands all over the room. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that causes me to rise above. Because I don't just see the what, I see the why. Why did he come? He has not changed. How many are glad for Jesus? The exceeding greatness of his power. toward usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places far above all principality and power, might and dominion and every name that is named. Every name that is named. Do you believe that this morning? Every name that is named. You got a name of something in your body right now. This right here ought to help you get a hold of that. Call that name and say, there is a name greater than your name. You must submit to this name. God is not holding back anything. He's helping us. The biggest struggle is not trying to get God to do something. He's already done everything He's going to do. Peter said it right. 1 Peter 2:24, by His stripes we were healed. The issue is not so much what God requires of us, but what we have allowed to be put on us or have put on ourselves, and breaking through all that back to the freedom in which what He has already done gushes forth freely. You see the example in the Old Testament. Moses. The people of God are thirsty. God tells Moses, go to the rock and strike it, and water will gush forth. All of these beautiful pictures of our Jesus. Moses does as he's instructed, and he goes and he strikes the rock. I don't have time right now, but every one of those names means something. He strikes the rock and water begins to gush forth. Moving forward, Israel again is thirsty. And God tells Moses, speak. Moses, the people are crying, they're pressing, they're thirsty. Here we are again. He's seeing, who knows what was going on in his head? But Moses remembers the past, tries to recreate the past. There's a little bit of flesh there. I had a part in this. I picked up that which represents. And I struck the rock, and water gushed forth. And I'm sure there were people there that said, oh, Pastor Lee, you're so anointed. Come on, I'm here to tell you today, it's not about my anointing, it's the anointing in you. We've talked about it for weeks. Moses, God tells him to speak to the rock. What does Moses do? He picks up. And God, these are all beautiful pictures of grace. You know what God does for the people? Water still flows forth. And their thirst is quenched. But God says to Moses, because of this, I'll go sit with you. There's a time and a place when we'll enjoy the fulfillment of this together, but right now in this life, you'll not see it realized. You just forfeited that. Now I'm going to go lovingly sit with you on a mountain and we're going to look at it. We're going to talk about it. But you're not going in. Because it was important that it be revealed. Once struck, the Son of God, our rock, the rock as David called him, the rock of our salvation, once struck, once smitten was enough. He paid it all. From then on, it was speak and watch me move. By a new and living way, the book of Hebrews, the writer of the book of Hebrews reveals. Do not back off of what comes out of your mouth. He's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of the church. It was a good reminder the other day sitting around But come on, Lee. You know, you think back and you go, wow, where have I gone? Dad and I were talking out of that conversation. He mentioned it here this morning. I'll bet you're going to preach on it. I hope you do. Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness. They'll be filled. If we have a problem today in America, it's not just communist, socialist, leftist. It's a church that right now is not very hungry. We're fat. We're doing the Israel roller coaster. Help us, help us, help! He calls them out, brings them out. They conquer their enemies. They rise above. They become fat and wealthy. They forget and they descend into moral sin and everything else, and all of it begins to affect their whole core, and there they go again and right back into bondage, and they cry out and God brings them out and He blesses them again. He is so merciful. No wonder David said, for the Lord is good and His mercy. David watched it. He knew Israel was a mess. So are we without this great revelation of grace. If there's a problem in America, it's not the world. The world has always been the world. What the globalists are trying to do right now, Nero already accomplished back in AD 70. Are you aware that he required a 666 on the hand and on the forehead and you couldn't buy anything? Are you aware that the armies of the world gathered together in the Valley of Megiddo and wrought destruction, had a great war? Are you aware? Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. The world's always been the world. But when the church ceases to hunger, would you lift your hands up with me today? Lord, today. You know, we got to talk about that. People, right now you're hearing people, God's bringing judgment on America. He's going to bring America to her knees. God doesn't require that. We require that. We don't wake up until we're in trouble. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, is not where He led you. It's where you led you. And He still loves you. And He'll still help you. And His rod and His staff there in a place of your own making is still there if you'll grab a hold and walk your way out. He says, in the presence of our enemies, He will prepare a table before us. But listen, we don't have to even go there. But we're going there until the church wakes up. I've watched it. I've lived in it. As a young boy, I watched as Guatemala, under extreme pressure, begin to turn to God. I've seen the dead bodies in the ditches, unnecessary. God never required that, but the result was it took that for people to wake up and begin to cry out and give way. I'd rather give way before we get there. Come on, Lord, stir in me a hunger like never before. Make me a worshiper again. They which do hunger and thirst. Hunger? I don't need a burden. I don't need more weight. Hunger! Thirsty. It is His love. This isn't a work again. I got to position myself for hunger. Excuse me. Hunger comes from in, a desire to know more, to see. It's Paul. Here's Paul describing his hunger. Philippians 3:10 wrote most of the New Testament, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. This is why He came. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to you and me, the church. Which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. that filleth. Verse 2, why did he come? And you hath he quickened, made alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. John talks also about why he came. Keep there. We're going to come back to Ephesians. Go over to 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons. Come on, ladies, let me hear you say it. Daughters of the living God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. They will not understand you. Now quit trying so hard. We're not called to explain. We're called to proclaim. I never got anywhere trying to explain. I just proclaimed. Make sure that what you're proclaiming can be backed up with this. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. You thought he was going somewhere else. So many preachers take this the wrong place. They use what is intended to be the freedom of the new covenant to turn around and put you back. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Are you confused? You shouldn't be. Who are you? Are you defined by your outward man? Are you defined by the inner you that became one with Jesus? So much so that he could live in you. Christ in you, Paul put it, the hope of glory. So the way religion explains this has got to be totally off. Well, it explains itself if you just keep reading. You know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Ouch. So what sin are we talking about? Chasing women, smoking, drinking, and hanging with those that do? Or is it the sin of what they all dealt with? The whole book of Hebrews is pleading with the nation of Israel. Please see, it's everything has changed. The old system is over. It's going to be obliterated. He prophesies in Hebrews, this is going to be obliterated as though by fire. Little did he know, or maybe he did know by the Spirit, that that would all end in fire. The whole old system of the law. And he's pleading with them. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than Melchizedek. He's greater than the law. He's greater. Please come out from that. For there is no more forgiveness in sin for those who refuse to believe that He alone now I don't have time this morning. Excuse me, I'll have to go there next week. It's interesting that in Matthew 17, read it yourself, on the Mount of Transfiguration, beautiful little side note, by the way, Moses comes down from giving the law and people ran from him as his face shone. Jesus, at the Mount of Transfiguration, his face is shining with the glory of God and people ran to him. As a voice from heaven said, hear Him alone. Everything's changed. Jesus only is enough. Somebody said, are they Jesus only here? No, stop. Yeah, we are in this sense. It's Him and only Him. By His name, through His work. Sent of the Father. Revealed in us and through us by the Holy Spirit. So we are Jesus only in that regard. No longer the law. Aren't you glad for the law? I'm so glad for the law. It brought me to the end of myself. It was a great mirror that showed me how undone and lost I was. It was a good mirror, but a poor bar of soap. For nothing but the blood. Once the law reveals what I look like, nothing but the blood. Not the law, the blood cleanses once for all. He who knew no sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21, He who knew no sin became sin for us. That we could, by faith, Jesus alone, be made the righteousness of God in Him. I never get tired of preaching this because this is what sets people free. This is what begins to take the layers off. You've been fighting so long in your little faith battle that it's all become about your works. I've seen so many people get the wraps of religion off and receive a healing just like that. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Anyway, I got off track. On the right track. He that committeth sin is of the devil sinneth from the beginning. The sin that he's speaking of is, you hit it on the head, Herb, unbelief. And a whole lifestyle that emanates, flows out of, is produced by unbelief. We see that in Galatians. What many people think are a group of character traits, that are produced by those who love God and those who don't. No, you're seeing a picture there of what the law produces and what the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus produces, the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. So anyway, that's a side. If I lost you there, it's okay. We'll cover that another time. Okay, moving on. I don't mean that you're so dumb I lost you. I mean, I'm jumping all over the place. That's why I lost you. That's what I mean by that. I hate coming across like that. He that committed sins of the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, here it is. Why did he come? Here's another one. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Do you still believe that today? Why did he come? In a few days, we'll celebrate Christmas, but don't lose sight of why he came. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain. And he goes on and he explains that in detail. Jump on down so I don't leave you hanging on this. This isn't part of my message, but I can hear some of you going, well, wait a minute. I thought you just jump on down with me. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we know his commandments, and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight, and this is his commandment. And this is his. So the commandment we're talking about is not the law, or a new set of laws in that sense. Here it is, that we should believe. Jesus himself said, speaking of his work, you must do the works. And he says, here it is. Preaching Jesus and believing in him. So here's John saying the same thing. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son Jesus and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth this commandment dwells in him. How many are dwelling in him? Put your faith in him in that regard. For this purpose was the Son of God. So going back to that scripture, I just had to finish that so I didn't lose some of you. He's not talking about the commission of individuals. He's talking about a heart system. It's either enlightened through the work of grace or we're lost. Going back to Ephesians, Paul, where in times past, verse 2 of chapter 2, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Disobedience how? Lawlessness. What is lawlessness? That is walking independent of God. Not believing in that which was provided through the exceeding great power. Keep things in context, or you'll get lost. Among whom also we had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. How many can say but God? How many are glad for that? But God. I'm here to tell you, people, it may look crazy out there, but let's remind each other, but God. I lost you. Come on. But God. Man, I've only been preaching, 45 minutes? Who is rich in mercy. Rich in mercy. For his great love. Wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins. But God has had and has a vision for my life. You didn't have anything to... This right here, if I'm reading it right, you read it. This is your Bible. You apparently didn't have anything to do with it, but respond. Even when we were dead. So when you were dead, he quickened you. He made you alive together with Christ. That's why it took exceeding great power, because you were being raised at the same time he was. That's where the power was needed. Because this is impossible. Look at you. Look at me. Actually, let's don't. This, my every behavior and response this week was not holy on every turn. You get angry this week, you're disqualified. Did you lose it in reference to one of these news reports and hear a word come out of your mouth that you don't normally use, you're disqualified. Did you want to take one of those masks and just shove it down that guy's throat? You were disqualified. That's why I'm glad for grace. Undeserved. I must lean hard on the grace of God. I must live today fresh and new. I must know that His mercies are new every morning, that His love still abounds for me. I cannot return to a cycle of defeat. I must realize that every day the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. I'm still learning, and He's working with me, not against me. How many are glad for that? Three of you are glad for that. What about the rest of you? Come on, He's working with me. Not angry at me. Working with me. I love Romans 8. It says, when we know not how to pray, when we've got everything just right, and we've prayed right, and we've fasted right, and we've arranged everything just right, and we've paid our tithes, and been more faithful in our attendance to church, and been real careful about where our mind goes, then when we do all that, then He takes hold together with us. No, He actually said, Chad, when you're weak, when you're struggling, look at the context. The context there is works versus grace. You read that chapter, He's speaking of when we are struggling with the flesh. He doesn't abandon us. Now, as sons and daughters of the Most High, through the miraculous work of faith by grace. He hugs us tighter and prays for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I know I've said it before, but it'll be new for some of you. Just because you feel bad about something doesn't mean it's condemnation. The Holy One lives on the inside of you. And He knows when you're going in the wrong direction. Paul said, grieve not the Holy Spirit. We've confused condemnation with grieving. Grieving is a loving expression of, oh son, oh daughter, no, don't go there. Don't, it'll hurt. Listen to my wooing. Come aside, come away. That's not condemnation. That's the beauty of a loving relationship. That's a voice that sometime will sound harsh, but it is love from heaven that says, no! It's not condemnation. He lives in you. He loves you. I'm very glad for Jesus today. He provided all of this. Why did He come? We'll get to the others next week. Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me. That's our inheritance. You say, I really don't know what God has for me. Start there. But I don't qualify. Then you qualify. Step out. Struggling with this? Quit focusing on your struggle so much. Move away and begin to concentrate on who is in, and start doing the works. Find somebody. Pray for somebody. Speak to somebody. You'll find that this loses its strength with you when you stop putting all your attention there. It's a form of reverse worship. when you magnify your struggle. Oh, come and magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. Every time we do, something snaps in the kingdom. And that grip temporarily loses its hold on you because you haven't yet got a hold of the revelation of grace that it is finished, done once for all. Move away and step in. Be bold. Lay hands. Be radical. Be a nut. But what will they think? That's why the church is where we're at. Seeker friendly. Tired of it. I bought into it for a while. We grew a church. Three-piece suits and a big Crown Vic and a secretary has served me tea. Bless them. I don't mean to sound critical, but I'm saying it's empty. Forgot where I was at. I got to remembering stuff. Huh? Coffee? Tea? Yeah. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive together. Wish I could remember where I was going. It was good. Yeah. There you go. Thank you. There's a calling on my life. Come on, people all over the room, lift your hands. There's a calling on my life for such a time as this. Greater is He. This same little book, I don't have time to go there right now, but greater is He that's in me than he that is in the world. For a time like this, Jesus was speaking forward of a time when He and us, I'm anointed. Come on, are you here this morning? Do you realize that? Do you realize this same little book repeats over you, speaks of the same anointing that Jesus addressed concerning Himself? Not having yet fully ratified the new covenant, standing as a rabbi in the temple, begins to announce prophetically the prophecy of Isaiah, but he's speaking forward of you and I. I hope someday I get to my Elisha list because you're going to see a picture of us in Jesus. Yeah. 10 to 12, where do I go from here? Would you guys get up there and worship and help me in this? I don't know where to go. Do you love Him today? Why did He come? John 10:10. I know none of this is new to you, but I know that every bit of this is new to you. New every morning. Come on, John 10:10. It is the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's true spiritually and physically. That's true right now on the national front. That's how those demons work, using people like slaves. But there is a name. Come on, are you here today? Come on, church. This power was given to us. He did all that and delivered the power to us. A name that is above every name that is named. Come on, are you here today? John 10:10, the thief comes but to steal. Let this adjust your theology. Some of you have been around the wrong stuff, listening to the wrong stuff, and little by little, your center has changed, and you're confused about what God might do to get you to adjust. Here is a clear, clear message. It is the thief, not God, the thief who steals, who takes away what is yours. Not God. What about Job? What about Job? Job repented in chapter 42 and said, I repent of all the stuff I said because I had heard of him, but now I have seen him. He was speaking of one named Elihu, the fourth man who stood as a Christophany, in my opinion, and said, Jehovah does not afflict. And he was not corrected by Jehovah. Quit going to Job. God is not the source of your affliction. Jesus himself stood and said, the thief is the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come. Come on, get it clear. I have come. Why did he come? Come on, why did he come? That you might have life. And life more abundantly. Don't buy into the doom and gloom of 2021. We have Psalms 91 as our vehicle. Now, set forward prophetically under the new covenant in Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Woo! Come on. Come on. Life. Come on, lift up your hands. Let's stand together and lift our hands all over the room. Somebody said, David, they're a cult over there because they make you raise your hand. So let's join the cult this morning. Come on, let's join the cult. Let's join the cult. Elbows above your ears. Come on. Woo! Hallelujah. I receive the spirit of wisdom this morning. I don't just look at something. I see what's behind it. Come on. I receive the spirit of revelation of who Jesus is in me and for me. Father, we thank you today for your anointing that is strong within. And it isn't just a goosebump anointing. I'm glad for goosebumps, but they rise and fall. They come and go. But this isn't goosebump anointing. This is yoke-breaking, yoke-dissolving anointing. This is that anointing which opens the doors before us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Why did he come? For this purpose was the Son of God born. You love him today? Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your people today. As we've encouraged ourselves in the Lord, this is what we've done. This is one of the most beautiful acts there is. Spiritual exercises as a body of Christ. But we've come right now together and reminded ourselves of the Word. I've said it many times and I'll say it many times again. As we walk in this world, we live here right now. Our feet touch the ground. Hopefully, I've been around some people that are so heavenly minded, they're not spiritual good. Floating around, their feet never seem to touch the earth. But most of us live right here. Paul talks about it. You've heard me quote it many times. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh. Right here. And as we're walking, how many know that we're still learning and our feet get dirty? And every time we stand in his presence and do this and remind and encourage ourselves in the Word and encourage ourselves in his promises. He says, you are clean through the word which I've spoken. Today we're foot washing. Come on, are you here today? Come on, lift up your feet. This is getting our feet washed. We're ready for another week, another go, another strikeout. Believing together. Today. We honor you, we praise you. Our hearts hunger for you. Come on, people all over the room. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We worship you and honor you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your strength. Your grace for who you are in us, for us, and through us. In Jesus' name, everybody shouting. Come on, everybody. Hallelujah. You receive something today. You